So we're reading again from Matthew chapter 6 and starting at verse 5. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they have got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honoured as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing.
Thanks, Harry. Please keep your Bibles open to Matthew 6. We're going to do a bit of flipping around the Bible today to help us to understand God's Word. So have your Bibles ready. How about we pray and ask God to help us to understand His Word today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us, for each other, that we can gather together, and for your Word about our Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would indeed help us to feed on this bread that we need more than anything else. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you're the kind of person who loves to think about the future and have every detail kind of planned out and connected. You love your kind of detailed lists and you know exactly what's going to happen. Are you that kind of person as you think about the future? Or are you someone who's like, man, come what may, laid back, easygoing, spontaneous, love winging it? Is that how you think about the future? Are you someone who wants to know all the details and needs to be kind of certain and in control, or someone who doesn't mind a bit of uncertainty and is happy to just go with the flow? How do you think about the future? It's interesting, as we think about the future, as we think about tomorrow, it's possible for us to think too much about the future, isn't it? It's possible for us to be too invested in tomorrow in the sense that we forget about today. And we forget to appreciate the good things that we have in the here and now. And we end up being never satisfied. We get obsessed with worrying about trying to get the next thing, trying to get to this future, and we neglect the present. And whether it's the person who works ridiculously long hours in order to get ahead, but misses their children growing up, or saving for retirement, but never actually enjoying life or a holiday or friendship, because you're so fixated on the future. I take it that's why Jesus says in Matthew 6, a little bit after he teaches the Lord's Prayer, verse 31, he teaches his disciples not to worry about possessions, not to worry about things or what is going to happen. He says God will provide. Don't worry about things that you're not in control of, like tomorrow. He says seek first the kingdom. Seek first God's righteousness. And these things will be added to you. God will look after you. And then verse 34, Matthew 6, 34, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. He's not saying don't think about tomorrow. He's saying don't worry about it. Trust God with your tomorrow. Remember, God is in control of your tomorrow, your future, not you. So trust him. It's possible to think too much about the future and not trust God. But at the same time, it's possible not to think enough about the future, to think too little about tomorrow. Because on the flip side, we can get so caught up in the here and now, can't we? We get so obsessed with the immediate moment, with instant gratification. We don't think about consequences. I'm going to say this, do this, eat this. We don't think about what could possibly happen. We forget about the long term and we ignore the big picture. And so our world is filled with people who are ignoring their own mortality, ignoring the fact that we will all face God, ignoring the fact that there is a heaven and a hell because we're busy with some trivial, temporary something that's distracting us right now. We think too little about tomorrow. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 6 verse 19 says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth, because that stuff moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. Don't let that be your treasure, something that moths can get rid of. That's not much of a treasure. Verse 20, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The stuff that you want today is all going to disappear. The stuff that you're fixated with today is not going to last. No, you need to think about eternity. That's the tomorrow we need to be worried about. We need to be ready for the day that is coming. Now, the reason I'm talking about tomorrow, the reason I'm talking about the future, is because that's what this part of the Lord's Prayer is all about. We're looking today at the line, give us today our daily bread. But literally, the original says something like, give us today our bread for tomorrow. Give us today our bread for the coming day. It's actually a prayer about tomorrow, about what is coming. See, remember in this prayer, Jesus has said to his disciples, pray like this, don't babble. Don't try and impress people. Just remember, God knows. So pray like this. And Jesus has given his disciples three requests. The first three requests are really for the sake of God, for the glory of God. Your name be honoured as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. They're the first three requests. Pray like this. Then the second three requests are really concerning ourselves. This is what we need. Give us, forgive us, deliver us. Are the three requests regarding us. So here is where Jesus is giving us the first request for ourselves. And so Jesus is saying, pray like this, our Father in heaven, give us today the bread of the next day. Give us today the bread of tomorrow. Feed us for the day that is coming. Now, we think this prayer is about today. Actually, this prayer is as much about tomorrow. And to fully understand this prayer, we need to understand the story of Israel in the Exodus. So often the New Testament either directly quotes the Old Testament or refers to the Old Testament or has the Old Testament in the background. And that's why in a couple of weeks' time we're starting a new Bible Talk series doing the whole Bible in 9 weeks called The Mission of God. And we're going to try and cover the whole story of the Bible and see how every bit everywhere is pointing us to Jesus. And so even as Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, behind the scenes is really this understanding of the Old Testament. So if you have your Bible, turn to Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16, the familiar story of God using Moses to rescue Israel from slavery and death in Egypt. And they escape through the Red Sea after the 10 plagues have come, and God parts the sea and destroys the Egyptian army, and Israel find themselves in the wilderness, the Sinai wilderness. And not long into their time having escaped Egypt and they're there in the wilderness, Israel starts to grumble. They start to panic. What are we going to eat? Where will we find food? How will we survive? They even start saying, maybe it would have been better off for us to stay in Egypt. But despite their grumbling, God is kind and he provides them with everything they need. So verse 4, God says, I am going to rain down bread from heaven for you. That's who I am. I powerfully provide for you. I'm the God who parted the sea for you. I'm the God who turned the Nile to blood. I sent the plagues. I destroyed Egypt. I've done all this. I've sent a pillar of fire for you to be guided at night, a pillar of cloud for you to be guided by day. I'm going to take care of this. Don't stress, God is saying. I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people are to go out each day and to gather enough for the day. God also provides in the evening quail for them to go out and collect for dinner, manna in the morning for the day. Manna, it's interesting, the word manna means, what is it? And so I take it that's because they looked at it and thought, what is it? But it makes it easy when you say, hey Dad, what's for dinner? What is it? Yeah, well that's what we want to know. What is it? Yes, that's what we're having for dinner. Could you please pass me a bowl of what is it? And maybe that isn't very flattering. Maybe you shouldn't say that when you have dinner. What is it? But that's manna. That's what the word manna means. Now have a look at verse 17 there. Exodus 16, verse 17. Some gathered a lot, some a little. When they measured it by quarts, the person who gathered a lot had no surplus. The person who gathered a little had no shortage. Each gathered as much as he needed to eat. Whatever you gathered was enough under God. Big pile, little pile, it worked to feed you. God nourished his people. But Moses warns Israel not to try and keep any of the manna overnight. You don't need to store up any for tomorrow because God is going to provide you what you need each day. You don't need to stockpile. You need to trust God each day to provide. But verse 20, they didn't listen to Moses. Some people left part of the manna until the next morning and it bred worms and it smelled. It went bad and Moses was angry. So every day God would send this bread down and every day they would have enough for the day. But the sixth day was different, Friday. Because God had commanded Israel not to work on the seventh day, not to labour. And so verse 22 tells us that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much food. And so he told them, verse 23, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, and everything left over set aside to be kept until morning. So they set it aside until morning, as Moses commanded, and it didn't smell or have any maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you won't find any in the field. For 6 days you may gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Yet on the seventh day, guess what? Some people went out to gather, but they didn't find any. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? Understand that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he will give you 2 days' worth of bread. Each of you stay where you are. No one is to leave his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. You see, God provides what his people Israel needs. But in particular, on that day of the week before the Sabbath, before the rest, God would provide them the day for the next day on that Friday. God would give them tomorrow's bread. God would give them today what they needed to be sustained into the day of rest and enjoyment and no work. And the day of rest is deeply significant in the Bible. It's not just a day off work. It's actually a day that remembers and celebrates creation. It's a day that celebrates and remembers God's salvation. But more than that, the promised land that Israel were heading to, they've been rescued from Egypt, they're now in the wilderness, they're heading for the promised land, which is also called rest. They're heading for the Sabbath rest. They're heading for a land flowing with milk and honey, a place where you wouldn't have to work for your food, you wouldn't have to plant any crops, you wouldn't have to build any cities or homes, because it's already been done for you. God has provided it for you. All that land is rest and enjoyment. And so do you know that the Bible calls the new creation that we're looking forward to, the eternal life that we as Christians have after death, this life that we have as a free gift from Jesus, the Bible calls that rest. Sabbath rest with God, with enjoyment and feasting and banquet. It's where our labours and our toils and our hardship is over. When everything will be provided in abundance and there will be nothing but celebration and joy. So back to Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples, he says, pray like this, pray, our Father in heaven, give us today the bread we need to enter your rest. give us today what we need to be sustained and to have eternal life. Provide our physical needs, provide our spiritual needs, so that we can enter your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, and live forever. Give us today the bread of tomorrow, that bread for the coming day, so that we can live. So you thought this prayer was actually about groceries. It's actually about such a greater, bigger thing than that. So then the question is, what is this bread that we're asking God for? This bread that can give us eternal life? Well, back in Matthew, a couple of chapters earlier, Jesus had gone through his own kind of Exodus experience. He'd gone down into the Jordan River, like Israel had gone through the Jordan River, into the Promised Land. He's baptized in the Jordan. He goes out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, like Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. And there he is tempted in the wilderness by Satan, like Israel were. They failed. They kept believing Satan's lies and doubting God's goodness. But no matter how much Satan said, take the shortcut, do your own thing, don't do what God wants, Jesus stood firm. And in fact, he resists Satan's temptation in Matthew 4, verse 4, by answering, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, that what Israel were meant to learn in the wilderness is the thing that kept them alive. The thing that sustained them and fed them and upheld them and protected them and guided them. What they needed to feed on and rely on was God's word and God's promise. All the things that they thought would keep them safe, having a king, having walls, having an army, looking good, all that kind of stuff, over the years for Israel, they failed. The king failed, the walls failed, the army failed. But God's word sustained them. God's word protected and guided and provided. And so as they believe God's word, they lived. The word of God is what sustains us and gives us life. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our bread for tomorrow, the food we need to feed on to live now and into eternity. Give us today, God, the food which is your word. What we need to live, more than clothes and food and money, is we need God's word. And we need to trust his word and feed on his word. The problem is, as humans, we keep putting our trust in the things God gives us rather than the God who gave them to us. We think life consists in possessions and success and achievement. But life consists in relationship with our God, our Creator, our King, who gives us those things. So we live by the Word of God and not by bread alone. So the bread that we're asking for here is God's Word. Secondly, a little later in Matthew's Gospel, we see this idea of bread again in Matthew 26:26, when there's all these connections to the Exodus, isn't there? Because in Matthew 26, Jesus is having the Passover meal. The Passover meal celebrated what? The Passover, which was the kind of climax of the Exodus, when God's angel of judgment passed over Israel because the lamb had been slain and the blood was on the doorposts. God's judgment passed over them but landed on the Egyptians because they didn't believe God's word. And so they celebrated this meal to remember that God had saved them. And so there is Jesus, and as he serves his disciples that night, that's the night he washed their feet. This is the night when he breaks the bread and he's serving and he's doing the servant-hearted thing. As he breaks the bread and shares the cup, he says, "Take and eat this. This is my body. This is a sign of what I'm about to do. I am about to die on the cross. My body is about to be broken for you. My blood is going to be shed for you. My life is going to be spent for you, so that you can live in God's Sabbath rest in the new creation. So feed on me and my sacrifice for you." The bread we need, the food we need to feed on, to have eternal life and to be ready for the coming day, is Jesus' death on our behalf. And to receive Jesus' death, to believe in him, to trust his saving death, is to feed on him. in our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls. The bread we need, the bread Jesus tells us to pray for, is the bread of God's word, the bread of his son Jesus. Again, this is Jesus is saying, what you guys need to pray to the disciples, he's saying, you need to pray that I would go to the cross and die for you. Because that's the only way that God can give you what you really need more than anything else. Entry into rest. What a king that Jesus says, here's the request you need to make of God, that I would die for you. So you see, this is why we gather together each week on a Sunday, to feed on God's word, to feed on Jesus. This is why we meet during the week in Bible study groups. This is why we encourage people to meet one-on-one over the word, to feed together on the food that will make us live forever, to feed together on the food that makes us right with God, the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross for our sins. That's what we're praying for here. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to John 6, where Jesus makes this, I think, crystal clear that this is what he's talking about. John chapter 6, and the context of John 6 is earlier in the chapter, Jesus has fed 5,000 men, there would have been a whole bunch more women and children, where? In the wilderness. Miraculous feeding in the wilderness, which should sound familiar. Five loaves, two fish for Jesus, that's plenty. And he feeds this enormous crowd. They have enormous amounts of leftovers. He's the abundant providing God. And so verse 26 of John 6, they come to say, where did you get here? How's it? What's going on? Jesus says, I assure you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You're looking for another free lunch, basically. But don't work for the food that perishes. Work for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. So don't work for this temporary food. Work for the food that will last for eternal life. How do you do that work to get that food? Verse 29, Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. This is the work, to believe. How do you feed on this bread? You believe, you trust, you rely, and Jesus goes on. Oh, sorry, actually first they ask him a really, kind of full-on disrespectful question. Verse 30, what sign then are you going to do so we may see and believe you? What are you going to perform? About 12 minutes after he's just fed 5,000 people, they say, do something for us. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I assure you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. I am the bread that you need to feed on. I am the bread from heaven that brings life. Jesus teaches us to pray that God would speak to us and that we would live by his word in obedience, feed on his word that gives us eternal life. Jesus is asking us to pray that God would give us his Son and sustain us and nourish us by his Son who died on the cross. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus is everything we need for eternal life. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, pray like this. So in the end, God is our provider. God is the Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. God is the one who will clothe us and feed us and shelter us. So don't worry about those things. God will provide. We should keep trusting him for those things and not thinking that we can do that on our own. But Jesus says, pray something far bigger than that. Pray that God would give us what we need most of all, the food we need, the bread we need to be right with God and forgiven, to be able to live beyond death and live in eternal life in rest. Father, give us today the bread we need, your word, your son, that we might live in your rest tomorrow and forever. So let's pray that now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness in your word and in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we pray that you would provide us today what we need and that we would feed on your word, that we'd love it, that we'd believe it, and we'd obey it. Help us to feed on your Son, Jesus, to receive him and rely on him and thankfully be filled with him so that we may live now and for eternity. Father, thank you that you are the God who provides. You are our Father who cares. And so, Father, we ask you to help us to be nourished and filled and satisfied with your word and with Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
It's just fantastic when we delve into God's word and there's just such clarity. When we